Patriots 2-6 on third down. Jones in trouble. Sacked! Kevin Byard!
3HL 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, and Ron Slay with you. The voice of the Titans, Mike Key, joins us as he does every Monday at 4:20-ish. Mike, what's up? How are you?
I like the ish.
Ish?
That's ish.
I was kind of thinking.
Do you like the call, hold on, that we introed this segment with? I mean, a Byard sack?
It was well schemed.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was much of a call, but it was a good game.
It was a well schemed play.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a little positivity here on this Monday.
I thought for a second that the ball was going to come out on that one. Like, do you ever anticipate things like that?
I get in trouble when I do.
Yeah.
So I try not to, Brent, because I think as a fan, you know, you see things and you're like, oh, I think this, and you just can't sort of go there. Or I try not to. I certainly am guilty of doing it sometimes, but I try not to because it's a dangerous game.
Or like when a running back breaks it and you're just waiting for the guy to catch him from behind and rip it out. Which actually,
yeah, you know, that those plays always make me very nervous.
Yeah.
Because when you see the guy coming from behind, I mean, I go back to Terry McDaniel running down Hank the Tank Phillips from Mississippi State and ripping the ball out. I guess it was 1990, maybe. And, you know, so I've seen that play so many times. That one makes you nervous, especially for a guy like Foreman who hasn't been in the open field like that in a long time. And, you know, that when you haven't been hit and you're not used to all the contact and guys coming at you from different angles, I mean, that's what happens sometimes. And that's not an excuse. It's just kind of how it works.
Have you ever seen an NFL team in more need of a bye week than this one?
No. No, I've not. I've certainly
all the way
not,
around.
I've not seen a Titans team on with this much of a need from every standpoint. And I think what you're talking about there too is you're talking about the challenge of the 12 games, two West Coast trips included in there. You know, all of the injuries, obviously. Just a lot of the mental and physical fatigue as you're just trying to figure out how to get through it. I mean, this group needs a break desperately. And, you know, you really felt it as you left the stadium yesterday. You were like, okay, not great. Had a chance in the third quarter. You got the ball with a chance to take the lead. You kind of like where you are at that moment. And then when you don't score at 26-13, the game's over. That game's over. And so you lose and you're disappointed, but then you realize, you know, you're still right in the thick of it and you've gotten a bye at a moment where, you know, it's desperately needed. And, you know, one of two things happens. You either get the thing back on track and you make a run at it, or you don't, and you don't. And that's I don't see it being something in between. I think that's what you see coming off this bye week is the Titans either get it right back on track or they, you know, they keep fighting a car that they just can't seemingly control.
Mike, that's it, man. Not only does the team need this, I mean, it feels like after that game, it feels like the team has been through and the fans have been through an entire season. Like it felt like, man, this is it. And I hope when they bounce back from it. It's like when you go on vacation and then you walk back into work. You're ready, you're energized, ready to get back to it. And you heard that from Vrabel a little earlier today when he was talking to Jim Wyatt, and he was saying that it was some of those plays, man, our guys just wasn't quick enough, just didn't have that extra step. And that's nothing but fatigue. Like mentally, you're there, you're ready to get through it. It's the next man up and everything. But at some point, the war of attrition kicks in. And I think that's what happens because New England gave – the Titans plenty of opportunities. They missed throws too. They missed interceptions. They did a lot of things where that's why the Titans were still in the game.
Yeah, they had
it. Yeah. So I mean, like,
well, the funny thing is the game in terms of the flow wasn't vastly different from the Houston game. Now, certainly the Patriots had more yards, but I mean, it was 19-13 at one point in both games, and the Titans had the ball with a chance to take the lead. but it was like you were fighting uphill. It's like missing the first extra point.
Yeah.
So you never got it to 7-7. You never got the game even. Mm-hmm. Having the penalty on the first punt, which set up the easy score. Those sorts of things are things this Titans team was 100% not doing earlier in the year. When they beat Jacksonville on a day where they didn't play great, they played every situation well, and Jacksonville played every situation wrong.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the Titans had the same look that Jacksonville did in that game in those moments, and that's the part of it that I do think comes from mental and physical fatigue. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and you look at it, Mike, and that's those plays that are made earlier in the season are the same plays that are made at this point if you also have those guys in the game to make those plays. Like if you got David Long there instead of, what's my guy's name? The linebacker, I keep forgetting his name.
Monty Rice, Dylan Cole.
Dylan Cole. Yeah. If you have David Long right there, Rashad Evans right there running that route for Jonnu Smith to pick it off, that's a touchdown. We've seen it. Like, we've seen them make those plays, but that's when you're flying around and you're fresh and you're into the season. I think this it couldn't have came at a better time for him.
Agreed.
So when you look at – Mike Keith, voice of the Titans with us on 3HL. When you look at the IR numbers and things like that, it appears as if this team can get healthier over the next couple, 3-4 weeks. You don't know, like, in terms of timing, when people come off IR, are they ready to go and things like that. But I think there is hope there, right?
Sure. And I think there are a couple things there. You know, can Julio Jones get back? Can you get Bud Dupree back against Pittsburgh? Can you get David Long and Rashad Evans back? Can you get Nate Davis back? But the other thing, too, is do you have a Golden Tate on your hands who's been with your team 3 weeks by the time he plays a game? Do you have Buster Skrine who can help you on defense who, when the team plays the next game, he will have been here 3 weeks?
Highest graded guy from PFF yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the whole thing is do you have some of these guys who've had to play who are still able to play roles, but because they don't have to play as big a role, they can be more effective. And I think that's what you're really looking to. The big story to me yesterday that is the biggest positive was the play of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. The backs ran well, yes, but the offensive line really controlled the football game on the ground, and the sacks, I think you could say one of them for sure was a total coverage sack, and the other one may have been. Just what they were able to do against a good defense. To me, if you take that forward and you build on that, that's exciting. That's exciting to think you've figured out how to get control of the offensive line back again or the line of scrimmage back again. That's a really, really good thing for this team that hopefully they can build on.
Is there a concern there that Tannehill can't flip the switch when he gets his weapons back? Like, is there more going on there than just new guys around him?
No, I mean, and he didn't have guys open. You know, that was the other part of it. He's getting balls tipped at the line of scrimmage. I mean, they weren't respecting what the Titans are doing. And even on the interception in the end zone, he's got to throw the ball. I mean, he can't run out of bounds. You know, you've got to throw the ball in the end zone and give yourself a chance.
Was that a shot at Joe Milton?
You said that, not me. But my point is, you have to do, just like in the fourth quarter of the Houston game, you got to throw the ball. You know, you can't, on third down and long, you can't not throw the ball. And so I think the situations of what in the first half when the offense was pacing itself before the turnovers started, things like that, he was rolling along pretty well, you know, and then you get predictable because you start to have some difficult situations either on the field or because of the score. And then you're in then all of a sudden your personnel difficulties become quite obvious. I would think he's a frustrated guy. And I would think he's frustrated more obviously with himself because he's that type of person, but he's obviously frustrated because he knows this offense can be better. And I don't think it's much because of him. I'm sure he could have made a couple throws better, but I don't think Ryan Tannehill is any way, shape, or form the problem. And his numbers are a reflection of sort of where the entire team is, particularly the last 2 weeks, not where he is.
Mike, let me tell you this, man. You know, I love listening to you and Coach Mack while the game is going on. And I always take something from it. This gem that I took from the game, this one goes to Coach Mack. And the play off of it that you had, Coach Mack said in the first half, after the flag had been thrown, Coach Mack said the ground judge needed to take time out and just leave the game. he needs to throw his hat out, and if it's an alternate ref, he should come in and take his job right then and just leave the game. And he said, I'm not going to mention his name. And then when he threw it back to you, you said his name. And Coach Mack said, yep, that's it. Hey, man, I cried laughing, dude. I was like, hey, boy, I love y'all chemistry, dude, and I take some every single game from it, I promise.
Well, it's when we do the broadcast, it's his job to be opinionated, and it's my job to be informative. So when he was being opinionated, I felt that throwing the name in there was vastly important to be informative.
Right. Yeah. You've got to paint the picture. So, I mean, the complete picture.
That's my job. I don't want you to know who that guy is to – hate on him necessarily.
Right.
I just want you to know who he is because I think it enhances the listener's enjoyment.
But how red was he when he said that?
Pretty red.
I know, I can see him now, man.
I mean, that is really a funny element to Coach Mack.
I love it.
It's because, and Mike, you know this, for all those years, you can't say anything about officiating as a coach, and now you get behind a microphone? Look out.
And he's just
he's very comfortable in his own skin. There's no question.
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's
he's
the West
very
Texas.
Comfortable.
Yes. All right. Well, Jags coming up. You know, it's funny. This time of year, we all get to scoreboard watching, and Leonard Fournette had a pretty big run at the end of that Colts game, didn't he?
Sure did. We were scoreboard watching because, I mean, we understand where it is, and the two-game lead, which is actually a three-game lead right now, is huge because, I mean, if the Titans go 3-2 the rest of the way, even if Indy goes undefeated, the Titans win the division. So, yeah, I mean, you would be remiss if you weren't aware of that because what you know is if you win the division, you go to the playoffs and you have at least one home playoff game. I think, too, you know, for all the talk about falling out of the number one seed, I think if you look at everyone else's schedule, you get a pretty good idea that if the Titans could sweep their last five, I think the number one seed might take care of itself.
Yep.
Because everybody plays everybody, and the Titans don't have to play any of them the rest of the way. You know, that's the whole thing, is the Patriots have several tough games. And the Titans have tough games too, but I just think the fact that those teams at the top are all going to see each other a lot could be helpful if you're Tennessee and you take care of your business.
Well, we're looking forward to the bye week, Mike. I know you are too, and we'll check in with you later, man.
Well, you know, we've got the Vrabel show tonight. Coach Vrabel is on at the top of the show tonight.
Oh, okay.
So he's doing the first 30 minutes, and then Alex Marvez is doing the second half of the show.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a really good show. So if you would – get those questions on Twitter in early at Titans Radio. Tweet them to at Titans Radio, and we'll ask them all of the head coach beginning at 6 o'clock tonight.
There you go, Mike. Right,
Mr. Enthusiastic.
Mr. Enthusiastic.
No, he's never called this show.
Is Mr. Enthusiastic going to call the Mike?
I don't think
Rabel
he never.
I don't know.
I think you got to run across Mike personally first.
Mr. Enthusiastic?
Oh, you got to get Coach Mack to tell you about him. It's a guy that calls his show when I listen to it. He calls Coach Mack's show every week. And he's Mac Talk. Calls Mac Talk. And Mr. Enthusiastic is his name.
Well, there is no Mac Talk this week, so maybe this person should take part in the Mike Vrabel show.
I don't know if Mike Vrabel can handle Mr. Enthusiastic.
That'd be interesting.
Mike Vrabel might shut down Mr. Enthusiastic real quick.
That would be interesting.
Real quick, like.
You think?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Vrabel actually loves all kinds of things like that. So he might like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves to give it and take it.
That'd be interesting.
Let's give it a whirl.
He's always positive. I know that when he calls Mac Talk. So we'll see.
Oh, my.
Thank you, Mike Keith.
Thanks, Mike.
Looking forward to Dawn at the Blue Cross Bowl.
Oh, hey. Thanks. By the way, just to tell you what a goat VOD is, I'm doing my first football play-by-play for high school state football.
Oh, I didn't know it was your first.
I've done play-by-play. The 2A game is what I'm doing play-by-play for. I just have not done football. So, of course, do you hit up when you're doing football for play-by-play?
The
Vizot. Yes.
The Goat Vot.
The Goat Vot, yes. thank you. Mike Keith has given me a million tips and stuff that I was going into prepared to do this game that I was doing. And he was like, don't do that. So
you'll do fine. Yes. Listen, if I can do it, it ain't hard. So football's you got this.
But there you go.
Who's
everybody
in the 2A?
It is Hampton, and that'll be their first ever appearance.
Yes. The Bulldogs.
Yes. So they have not been to the state title game, so I get to – it'll be a first for both of us. There we go.
And you've got young Ty Simpson.
Yeah, sure
yes.
do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Westview.
Yes, so. Martin Westview, who at one time had two players in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yes. They at one time, as a small high school like that, they had two members of the Green Bay Packers roster. Chad Clifton was one of them, and Justin Harrell, the defensive lineman,
Justin
was the other.
Oh, man.
They got a great tradition at Martin Westview.
That is
Mike
awesome.
Bringing it, as always. Thank
as
you.
Usual,
Thank
yes.
you, Vot.
Thanks, Vot.
See you guys.
Right, Take- Vot is voice of the Titans, in case you didn't know. Presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
We just call him Goat
Vot. You know, Froggy.
Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. That was Mike Keith on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline.